I want to think about our Christian life tonight. There are many Christians, many religious people that are less than genuine. And it seems like their life is filled with religion, and they are living and they are just performing their religious life. Jesus in the scriptures, many of the scriptures, wants way more than that. He wants more than just performance. He wants us to be genuine. And he calls it, many places in scripture, he calls it perfected. And we're going to talk about that meaning of that word. Perfected is not perfect like we might think it is, as used in our language, but it is perfected in the, is the word that is used in the New Testament. So the title of the lesson, the sermon tonight is, your Christian life perfected or is it a performance? And I would like to go to, there's many places in the scripture that you could go to, but let's go to Isaiah 1 and just get a glimpse of people that were living, their religious life was a performance. And want to tie this into our council meeting and tonight. Verse 11 in Isaiah 1 says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord?" Like, why do you come? And why do you bring sacrifices to me? And he says, "Then I am full of burnt offerings and rams. I don't need that. And the fat of fed beasts, and delight in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts?" Why in the world are you coming to church? "Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me, doing all the right things." Well, he is condemning this. "The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, even the church service itself is iniquitous. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. Why, they are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless and plead for the widow." Here, God was condemning. They were doing the right things, but they were doing it without a heart and soul after God. And tonight, I would like to ask you, and I'm pleading for you, and in my own life, I need to examine myself. Am I really sincere and genuine in what I am doing, or am I performing my life? Just a performance of my life. Is it just because that's the way we've always done? That's the way the people I know do. Go to church, bring sacrifices, and is that what we are doing, or are we actually genuine and perfected before God? A person that is performer has a performance to do. He needs to look good and do good and actually be good to perform. And tonight, I want to call you to look at your heart between the performance and the genuineness, and want to look at it from that for the service tonight so we examine our hearts. After all, we go through this twice a year. It can be routine. Counsel, communion, it can be very routine, and we can say all the right things. We can be here and do the right things. But the deeper issue is, are we genuine before God? This is a performance threat. Jesus and God throughout the New Testament despised people that were religious performers without doing it from the heart. Well, tonight I want to look at this word, these two words, and I want to spend the rest of the time now. And the title of the message is, your Christian life perfected or is it a performance? Number one, and I don't want this to drag on too long tonight, but let's turn to Matthew 19, and a well-known passage of Scripture. And I want you to get a sense of the word perfect. Matthew 19 and verse 21 is where we want to look at first. And this is the young man that came to Jesus, and he said, I want eternal life. What do I need to do that I may have eternal life? And we all want to do that, don't we? We all want to have eternal life. And so this man was like us. He said, well, I want to do enough that I have eternal life. And so he said, asked Jesus, what do I need to do? And Jesus said, do the commandments. And he said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and the mother, and thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. And this young man said, I'm doing that. I'm good to go. And but then in verse 21 is the word perfect, and I would like to just look at that. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. In other words, it wasn't just performing part of the commandments. It was to go and to sell his farm and take all the money. And that would have been bad enough in itself for that young man. But Jesus said, go and give it away. The Jesus requirement for perfection was that you have complete surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That everything that you own must be at stake, must be at bay, must be up for grabs for the sake of Christ's kingdom. So tonight, when we come to the council room, when we say we are at peace with God, the conclusion I can make from this passage of Scripture is that peace with God means complete surrender. It means complete surrender. I'm ready to give everything up to you, God, if that's what it takes. I'm ready to surrender myself, my business, my money, my desires. I'm ready to surrender them to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So tonight, when you come out and you say you're at peace with God, you're saying, I agree that I'm going to surrender everything to you. And anything less than that, Jesus said, told this young man, is a performance. Because when the young man heard that saying that he had to sell everything, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So all his religion, all the things he did, all the commandments that he kept, was because he wanted to make a performance rather than be perfected like Jesus wanted him to be. This man was selective in the commands he would keep. And we find ourselves doing that. We are so selective. There's some things it's okay to follow God, but there are some things where we can't quite find ourselves following God. Selective obedience is performance of legalism. Strict conformity of most of the law, but selective and unwilling to have complete surrender to what God wants from me. But Jesus' words were to him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and then you can come and follow me." The path to perfection, as Jesus described it here, is paved with absolute surrender to his lordship, the word of God, and may I add the church. We could go over to 1 Corinthians 12, and let's do that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3, and I'm not sure what all to bring in here, but 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3 says that, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." Complete surrender is the place, the threshold by which the Holy Ghost comes into our lives. And therefore, as we live in the church and we serve in the church, we need to say, "Jesus is Lord." And because the chapter then gives teaching on the various gifts. Verse 7 and 8 talks about the gifts of the church. And then in 1 Corinthians, in the 27th chapter, it says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." So tonight, we, to have the lordship of Jesus Christ, to be surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ, is to be surrendered to a body, a group of believers that have, many of them have the same last name as you do. But nevertheless, we are surrendered to that. And when we say we're at peace with God, we are surrendering ourselves to the church. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. And the Apostle Paul here was talking about his conversion experience and how his Christian life was working out. And he was giving some direction. And verse 15 says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, walk ye, ye have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." And that word rule there in the 16th verse is, well, the Vine's Bible Dictionary says that is a rule of faith and practice. So tonight, while that could be serving Jesus, it's a rule of faith and practice according to Vines, and we are to be in submission to that. We are to be clothed with humility, is what Peter says, and the grace of God is never realized apart from complete surrender to his lordship by humble, simple brethren who are in subjection to each other, willing to join in brotherhood unity, and are willing to jointly obey the scriptures in the bond of brotherhood. I don't think you can get around it. The New Testament teaches that we are the followers of Jesus who have surrendered to him, have come into brotherhood, and are subject to one another because we are the body of Christ. So tonight, to make that work is to be humble, be submissive, and be in subjection to one another. Complete surrender is the essential condition of being a Christian. We are saying that we are surrendered, that we have peace with God, and that we're in total surrender to Him. So tonight I ask you simply, is there any areas in your life that is not surrendered, that you have not given up to the will of God? How about some small things, like greeting each other with a holy kiss? The Bible says that clearly. It's plainly commanded. And are we doing those kind of things? I have a burden that we're losing this very sacred ordinance of the holy kiss. And let's read the Bible. Go home and read the Bible. We'll see where it says. I think it's six different places it talks about the kiss of charity or holy kiss. It is something that we need to obey and surrender to. Number two for the message tonight is that when we say we are at peace with our fellow men, it means that we have charity towards all, even though it would be easy not to love each other. Let's go to Colossians 12. Colossians chapter 3. There is no Colossians 12, but Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12 in Colossians chapter 3 says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body." The bond of perfectness is found in verse 14. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Tonight, there's so much in the New Testament. Every page talks about love. Every page talks about benefiting your brother. Every page talks about loving each other in various ways. And tonight, anything less than complete love for the brotherhood is a performance-oriented Christianity, and not perfectness, the bond of perfectness. Let's look at some of these things here that it was mentioned in the 12th verse and following, what it really means. Bowels of mercy. That means that our heart is full of mercy towards each other. Can you say that? Filled with mercy. You know, and who needs mercy? It's not people that love us. It's those that hate us. They need mercy. It says bowels of mercy. And kindness, then, is the next word. Be kind. Do good things, both physically and in your demeanor. Be kind. Bring things. Give things. Do deeds of kindness. Humbleness of mind, modesty in relationships. You are better than me. I will consider your opinion. Meekness, gentleness towards each other. Long suffering. Suffer long. Believe in another's goodness and be convinced that the other is doing the right thing, and we suffer long and wait for him to, wait for him to see. And forbearing one another is this. The word forbearing simply means putting up with each other. Putting up with each other. That is what forbearing means. You look at it in Vine's Biblical Dictionary, that's what it means. Put up with each other. And so many of us have a problem with putting up with each other. Forbearing one another is what we need to do. But, dear ones, tonight, it is the bond of perfectness. And charity is the bond of perfectness. Love one another, even though there is plenty of reason not to. I think it's just so important that we do that. We are perfect when we are transparent before, honest with ourselves. When you come out and you say, I'm at peace with God, it must mean something. We must have honest self-evaluation. Jesus said in another place, everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Everyone that is perfect shall look like Jesus, act like Jesus. And when there is a mote in your brother's eye, we will take the beam out of our own eye first so we can see clearly. To see another clearly, we must do the work of personal repentance and personal demeaning and humility before each other. So tonight, are you perfect? Are you honest with yourself? Are you surrendered? Are you perfected in the bond of perfectness? Jesus is coming back for us. And he's going to come back and he's going to see some people. And they're going to call out and say, why call ye me Lord, Lord? Jesus is going to say this to them. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Am I obedient, submissive to the church, in modesty, in many other areas, am I obedient to that? So, to finish up this sermon, I would like to offer you four things that I want each one of you to do that will build this church. It's something that we all can do. Four simple things. Number one, admit that you're a needy person. Admit that you're a needy person. We are so much in need. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. I am a needy person. I am in need of my salvation from Jesus Christ. I am in need of all the people in the church. If everyone can have this idea of all the people in the church, I am the most needy. The Apostle Paul said this, that he was less than the least of all saints, and that's the way we should be. It is a wonderful church when everyone is convicted that they are the needy one. We will seek to understand others because we are not perfect ourselves. I need you. I need the church to give me what I need. I am needy. And I have a tendency to a carnal heart, and I want the church to speak into my life. Number one, I am a needy person. Please do that. Go home with that message tonight. Number two, I am committed to pray without ceasing for the church. To many people, church is a performance. Come to church and let's be there on time and let's do the performance part of it. But tonight I'm asking you in the secrets of your bedside and your closet, you commit yourself to praying for the church. for me, for leadership. And, you know, commit to praying for those that are struggling, those who are, we know who they are. Let's pray for them. A church that prays for each other is a church that is strong. A church that prays for each other is a church that will grow. A church that prays for each other will be united. There is something about getting down on your knees and praying for those in the church that you know you're maybe a little bit at odds with. You pray for them in all sincerity. It brings you to a relationship with them and with the rest of the church that builds us up. Pray, especially for the leaders. Pray that they would be bold, is what the apostle talked about. Apostle Paul said, pray that they would speak boldly. And so pray. The Apostle Paul says, brethren, pray for us. Number three, I will read the word to sincerely learn God's will for my life. Listen, when people are into the word of God and they see what it says about following Jesus and they see what it says about brokenness and humility, and they see what the word of God says about obedience. All these little things that the church is making, that you feel the church is making mistakes, seem to blend into nothingness. I will read the word to sincerely learn God's will for my life. Please do that. That is something that you can do. Number four. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Tonight, we have a competitive world out here for our meditating time. We have the internet. And there's so many things that we can see on the internet that takes our mind. But let's determine to meditate upon the things of Scripture. Give yourself wholly to them so that profiting may appear to everyone. Meditation, a life of meditation, has an effect on how we act, how we live, and how we present ourselves. Let's not follow the distractions of phone and business, latest posting on whatever you're on, social networking, WhatsApp, or whatever. The answer for living godly is in these four things, that we would be a man or woman of God. Pray without ceasing. Admit you're in need, read the word of God, and meditate on the word of God. So the question is, are you a performer, or are you committed to perfection, being complete in Him?